will be a shorter message. I'm not gonna preach full time. If I do, somebody's stomach will start to growl, I'll be in trouble. So I want you, if you will, to turn to me, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1 through 13. The radical miracle, the worst thing becomes the best thing. And I want us to think about that this morning. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1 through 13. As we've been talking this is the month of miracles. This is the month of reaching out and claiming the impossible for the kingdom of God. And so as we do, I think one thing we must realize is persistence in our prayers and in our lives before the Lord. This is a key element. Look at Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. We must pay the most careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. For since the message spoken through angels was binding every violation and disobedience received its just punishment, how shall we escape if we ignore so great a salvation? This salvation, which was first announced by the Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard it. God also testified to it by signs and wonders, various miracles, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to His will. It is not to angels that He has subjected the world to come, about which we are speaking, but there is a place where someone is justified. What is mankind that you are mindful of them? A son of man that you care for him. You made them a little more than angels. You crowned them with glory and honor and put everything under their feet. In putting everything under them, God left nothing that is not subject to them. Yet at present we do not see everything subject to them, but we do see Jesus, who was made lower than the angels for a little while, now crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death forever. In bringing many sons and daughters to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through what he suffered. Both the one who makes people holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters. He says, I will declare your name to my brothers and sisters. Assembly, I will sing your praises. And again, I will put you my trust in him. And again, he says, here I am, I and the children of God, the children God has given. One of the most one of the ways most Christians walk away from their faith is they leave the church because of unanswered prayer. I've talked with more people who have said, I pray, and I don't know whether God doesn't hear me, I don't know how to pray, some others are drifting away because of suffering. It's not all of a sudden, it's a drift. As the scripture just said, be careful that you do not drift away. Drift away means slowly but surely, methodically, you begin to cave. I say that to say this. I think it's important that we come to church, and that we are a part of God's message here, that we meet together. Yesterday was a wonderful time, and I really believe it was beautiful because we all came together. We came together with our kids. And I told Pierre earlier yesterday after we were standing there thinking about how beautiful were the feet of those who bring good news. And all the feet of those who brought good news, including the green knees. it was a blessing for us to be able to share with them. Too many times Christians look at someone they love or maybe even themselves and say, why am I, or why does this person in my family or whoever suffer? I don't get it. I pray. I've done all the Christian stuff. I have remained faithful and nothing happens and the suffering continues. Why? So they slowly but surely drift away. They don't believe in miracles or answered prayer. They don't believe God cares, so they, why should I waste my time on some random God that blesses this person but doesn't bless that person? Heals this person but doesn't heal that person. I want to pose to you a different thought on suffering and unanswered prayer. Listen to this quote. I think it's really important. A Christian philosopher once told me that if God can take the very worst thing that could ever happen in the universe, the death of his own son Jesus from a despicable, ugly, horrible cross of suffering, and turn it into the very best thing that ever happened in the universe, the opening of heaven for all who would follow him, then he is able to take our difficult circumstances and draw a miracle of good. How many of us think there is no miracle of good in suffering? We think a miracle is only when we're healed. Then there's a miracle. True. But I want to say this. Remember Joseph, who was taken into captivity. What did Joseph say? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it to for the many people that they should be free as they are today. I'm going to share this story. The middle suffering continued beyond prayers and years of depression. This lady could not even help her children. Her child would come to her and say, can you fix me a peanut butter and jelly sandwich? And she was so depressed that she could not even finish making a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. When she sat with the child and the child would pull out their colors, she saw all the colors as gray and black. She had been to the doctors over and over again, and they had prescribed different medicines for depression. Her darkness continued. She used to love the evening, but the evening became darker and darker and darker, and she got to the point that when the darkness came, she would cry until the morning hours. There was no sense to her suffering. She said, my whole family is suffering because of what I'm going through. She grieved desperately for her boy who did not understand what was wrong with his mom. Then she sat one evening at her desk in December. She said, suddenly, a light was seen in the rest of the house. And so she got up and she walked into the living room where the Christmas tree was. The Christmas tree was lit up, but there was a wire light. An opaque figure was standing there. She said, I would not have even noticed the light had I not been in so much darkness. And she walked towards the light, and the opaque figure had a golden box. There was a tag on the box, and the tag said, health. And immediately, she was back at her desk, and she was seated there. And she looked up, and she felt a presence behind her, and it was Jesus standing behind her. And as Jesus stood behind her, she cried out. And Jesus took his hands, his carpenter hands, placed them, she said, set on my head, and he began to massage my head, and as he did, there was a like electricity, a power that went through her body, and she said my brain was completely healed. Within a few moments, she said, I was thinking clearly, and I began to see the flowers. I began to smell things differently. I realized that I had been healed. But she said, it was the darkness that drew me to the light. Romans chapter 8:28 says this, and we know that for those who love God and are called according to his purpose, all things for those in Romans 8:29, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of God in his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he justified. And those he justified, he glorified. Now, let me explain that just a minute. God is in the business of taking people that he calls and bringing them into the kingdom. Then he wants to justify them. In essence, make them right with him through his blood. Then he wants to glorify them. He wants to take them and he wants to make them a glorious vessel. How do we become what God wants us to become is through a process. And sometimes we have to go through a dark valley to see the light. Sometimes the suffering is God's way of drawing us and sometimes other people into his kingdom. You see, his business is to bring us into glory. And it was through his blood, the blood of Jesus, that he does all this. I want to tell you, some of you have seen the movie Miracles from Heaven. Anybody seen that movie? Great. If you haven't seen it yet, go to it's on Netflix. Go and look at it. The young girl, Anna Bean, in Texas, was began to have some problems. She was a great soccer little girl soccer player, but she began to have some problems. She got sicker and sicker and sicker, and they doctors couldn't do anything for her. She couldn't hold her food, but her stomach began to become huge. She couldn't eat, but her stomach continued to grow. She tried everything. Finally, they analyzed that she had a rare disease that was killing her. She said, is there anyone who knows anything about this disease? And they recommended her to a doctor, Nurko, in Boston Hospital. And so she got on a plane and went to Boston. And they said, you have to be recommended. She prayed to God and she said, God, I've got to see Dr. Nurko. Again and again and again, she tried to get in. And finally, she was admitted through the nurse who said, you must see this child. And the doctor allowed her. He looked at the child and he said, we can try some things. So for several weeks, they tried different methods to help Anna. But Anna got sicker and sicker. While she was there, she had a friend who was in the bed beside her who was dying of cancer. And she fell in love with her other girl and they became best friends while she was there. Finally, the doctor said, there's no hope. Just to send God. The mother cried out to God and said, God, why can you not heal her? Why the suffering? This is so, it's killing me. It kills me more than it does my daughter. It's desperate that we need her healed. She went home and the child would just lay in bed. One evening, she was out in the yard with her sisters, and she wouldn't do anything, play anything. Her sister said, come climb the tree with us. We used to do that all the time. It was an old dead tree, and in the center was a, it was hot. Well, she finally agreed, and she climbed up the tree and sat on the top branches. And when they weren't looking, she got weak and fell over and fell into the trunk of the tree. About 30 feet down, she was fell and hit head first and lodged in the tree. The children ran and got the parents. They came running out. They couldn't get her out. They couldn't figure out, so they called the rescue squad. The rescue squad spent all night getting her out. And finally, when they got her out, she had a bump on her head. When they got her to the hospital, she had a bump on her head. The doctor said it is impossible for her to have fallen and not to have broken bones or a broken neck. But amazingly, she was alive. And the next couple of days, she was seen by her mother out in the yard playing soccer. Mother said, You don't need to be playing, you need to be singing. She said, no, I want to play soccer. And she said, what in the world? And so they sat down with her daughter, and the daughter shared with her this story. When I was in the trunk of the tree, I left my body. And I went to heaven, and I met Jesus. And he just went and said, you did. She said, yeah. And he told me I was coming back because he was going to heal me. Then I was back in my body and in the hospital. And the parents just sort of looked at each other and said, yeah, right. And she, you know, so, okay, that's good. That's good. And she said, and I'm healed, Mom. They checked her vitals and she was not retaining fluid, she was getting stronger. And they took her, they immediately got on the airplane and took her to Dr. Nurko in Boston. And he looked at her, he said, I have never seen a miracle like this. I have never seen anything like this. This has never happened as long as I've been a doctor. And they said, it was by prayers, it was by faith. And she was healed. So, in the meantime, they came back home. They went to their church the next Sunday morning and stood, the little girl stood in front of everybody and shared what had happened to her. One of the men stood up who was dealing with suffering and had never was and had been healed, said, I don't believe in that. I believe y'all are making this stuff up. I don't know, maybe somebody would do that in a church, but he said, I believe you're making it up. And finally, a man stood up and said, could I speak? He stood up and he says, my daughter was her best friend in Boston. She introduced my daughter to Jesus while she was there. And my daughter accepted Jesus as her Lord and Savior. When my daughter died just a few weeks ago, she passed away in perfect. And I knew right then she certainly knew God. And it was only through this child that she would have ever come. So through the suffering of this child, Dr. Nurko and his whole clinic has changed some of their methods. Through the suffering of this child, this other child came to Jesus. And this reporter, who was a reporter for the Boston Globe, has changed his whole premise, has come to Jesus, and his articles have changed since that time. Through the suffering of this one child. Yes, she was healed. Has never had a problem with it since. You would say to me, well, what about the people who are suffering and they haven't been healed? My answer to you is this. They will be healed. If you come before the living God and you pray in the midst of your suffering, you will be healed. Now, there's different types of healing. Sometimes he takes the sickness away and we're made whole. Sometimes
He brings us home to heaven and gives us a completely new body in heaven. Sometimes he gives us the greatest healing, which is in the midst of our suffering. We see how that suffering is transforming other people's lives. And the worst becomes the best. I have a sister-in-law who's really suffering. And I have had a struggle going to see her, but I'll go to see her. And I want you to know this. In the midst of it, I know God has a plan. I don't understand it. But whether she's healed here, and I pray for her healing. You say, do you ever get tired of praying for somebody's healing when they're suffering? Yes, you get tired of praying for it if you're human. But you continue to pray for their healing. There's all kinds of healing. Let me remind you, there's all kinds of healing. I remember hearing a man tell me one time, after suffering a long illness, he said, through this illness, I was able to speak to more people. If I had been healthy. And so he saw his illness in the light of the way God sees it. Suffering can't be, if we turn it over to God and seek his healing in the midst of it, can be the greatest moment in our life. It seems like suffering is, there's no sense in it. Oh, for us, there is no sense. I just had a young man, and I think I mentioned this last Sunday, a man who died, who I had a passing friendship with. I found out he climbed up a ladder and leaned against the telephone pole, and it slipped and he fell, and he broke his neck and he died. But he didn't die immediately. He was rushed to the hospital, and over about 10 days, he was seriously, in serious condition. But this is what his girlfriend said. He did not ever witness about Jesus till he got in that hospital and knew he was going to pass. And he said he talked to every last nurse in the hospital that he could get his hands on and told him, you must know Jesus. You must know Jesus. He had an Islamic young nurse, and he said, I told her, you must know Jesus. Jesus is the answer. Within the midst of suffering, our seemingly unanswered prayers, God has a miracle for you. I believe it and I see it. Let us trust it. Let's pray. Father, in our flesh, we don't like suffering. We don't like sometimes even to talk about faith, when our faith is not bringing us seemingly healing. Matter of fact, Lord, you know those who turn from you and drift away because of their suffering. I pray that we might be people who reach out to people in suffering, and if we are in suffering in the coming days, I pray that we might understand that you have a great plan. And that plan is to take whatever we're going through and to turn it around and to make what Satan meant for evil to be good. Lord, bless us and use us as witnesses and testimonies for your name. Jesus.